Welcome to Ag Media Conversations. Ag Media Conversations shares stories on how people in agriculture are using new media and social media to communicate a message, advocate a cause, or market an idea. This show and other agricultural shows can be found at trufflemedia.com. This is a conversation with Michelle Payne Canoper. She shares how she helps agriculture learn to champion their cause and how she uses digital and social media to accomplish that.
This is Michelle Payne Canoper, and I'm with Cause Matters Corporation here in West Central Indiana. We focus on helping agriculture learn to champion their cause and give voice to the people who feed the world.
Wow.
So how's that?
Yeah, that's good. Translate that. What does that mean, like, on a day-to-day kind of basis? How do you do that?
Well, specifically as a principal of Cause Matters, I started my business as a professional speaker actually 8 years ago now, almost to the date. And what I do is I work with various agricultural groups such as farm bureaus, commodities, and agribusinesses to provide training, workshops, motivation, and at some point antagonism to try to get people to speak up more effectively for agriculture. And so what my philosophy is to build a stronger connection between the farm gate and consumer plate and actually get farmers, producers, ranchers, agribusinesses to understand that they need to be speaking out in order to help people understand where their food, their fuel, their feed, and their fiber is coming from.
Okay. So just a little background, how I met you digitally actually was in some fashion it came through Twitter, and then what really popped up on my radar was this whole idea of every Tuesday between 8 and 10 having a conversation, and I think you labeled it Ag Chat, about whatever questions people had at the time, and I forget what the first session was, but they've ranged from how do you use new media in agriculture to H1N1/swine flu impacts to agriculture. Now, how did that whole thing get started? How did you decide to go do that?
Well, as far as AgChat, what I seem to really find a love of in agriculture is building communities. And I had been on Twitter since last fall. Like most people, when I first got on Twitter, I didn't really get it. I thought it was, quite frankly, stupid and didn't really choose to participate until I started seeing my community grow and as such the information that I was able to share and then also see from other folks evolve. And as a part of all of that, I became familiar with something called Jurn Chat, which is a session on Monday nights between journalists, writers, and PR professionals. And it's actually a three-hour session. And as I was sitting there watching it, all that went through my mind was, you know, agriculture needs this. So I discussed it with a couple of colleagues here and thought that I would just test the waters to see what would happen and announced it on a Monday. It launched on a Tuesday. And quite frankly, like many things that you don't really expect to be a great success, I was very surprised at the uptake of it. We had, I would say, around 25 people for our first agriculture chat, mm-hmm. which is on Tuesday nights, and it is from 8 to 10 Eastern time. All that you have to do is go on to Twitter, and you can either use search.twitter.com and hashtag AgChat, or the easier way, and my recommendation, is to go to TweetChat, TweetChat.com. Enter in your user information, and then you can follow along and watch the streaming live conversation. And the original vision of AgChat is that I simply just wanted to get agriculture folks together to talk about the myriad of issues that we certainly have impacting the agri-food business today. Mm-hmm. And potentially as a secondary vision to that, to connect agriculture folks with people who are concerned about food and influencers and food choices, such as nutrition professionals, media, healthcare, moms, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
So that's how it started.
How does the food chat play into this, too?
Well, at this point, food chat is set up once a month. It's the third Tuesday of every month, and it is actually designed to interface with Ag Chat so that the two are happening simultaneously, because at this point we have a fairly good following for AgChat. At the highest AgChat, there were 2,100 tweets in about 2 hours.
Wow.
Which is a whole lot of conversation. Yeah, I end up extremely tired by the end of it as a moderator, quite frankly. But it's fun. And the reason why people get exhausted, all sarcasm aside, is because it is extremely thought-provoking. I've had agency folks and ag media folks on there who I'm sure have 30-plus years in the business say that they have never felt as well-connected as what they do now because of social media. So it's been really neat to see the conversations that happen through AgChat, and it has been extremely busy. Now, FoodChat has been a little bit more difficult because we don't have the network that naturally has happened within agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we are trying to work on is getting the word out there, and we do have actually an account called @FoodChat on Twitter that we've been building up that network and that community so that it can be successful too, because we really do want to be able to capture people's questions about how their food is raised and have agriculture respond to those so that those people have accurate information.
Yeah. From my point of view, you know, I look at Twitter and things like Facebook. They're really just tools, and behind these tools are real people. What have you gotten out of it after you've done, you know, after that exhausting Tuesday night, and hopefully you go to bed after that? That next Wednesday morning, what do you do with that information? How do you feel it? How can you reuse it, or where do you see it coming into play through other channels?
Well, the ironic thing, and I know that I'm not the only one because several people in my community and Twitter will stay on tweeting for another couple of hours because what happens is your brain gets so overstimulated you can't turn it off. And I typically don't go to bed until about midnight on Tuesday nights now because of my brain overstimulation. But what I do with the information is, number one, it all remains as a part of AgChat. You can go to search.twitter.com. And again, put in the hashtag AgChat, and you can go back through. If you have to miss the conversation, you can go back through and review it. We typically ask 3 to 6 questions. We have social time at the beginning, and if people have pitches, so to speak, that they want to make at the end, we allow that. But we do go through a specific set of questions that are submitted by the community, and there's been various things done with that. Personally, I use it as background for my own work in agricultural advocacy. I use it also, quite frankly, as a platform to try to test out different social media techniques and whatnot that I offer clients in my consulting work. But various people, some people have chosen to create RSS feeds from it. Other people have chosen to do a live upstream from it. It's just a matter of what an individual choice is.
Mm-hmm.
I did not start AgChat with any commercial interest in mind. It was purely an opportunity to draw the agriculture community close together,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad that we've been able to accomplish that.
Super. Yeah, I actually, when I talk with people about using mechanisms like Twitter or Facebook, specifically around Twitter, there's a friend of mine who works for the IU Foundation, and his job is to raise corporate money. And I said, are you using Twitter to at least see what's going on? And he's like, he knew what it was, but he's like, no. And he was probably like you. He was like, why? And I said, I think the biggest value that I've got, me personally have gotten, and then that I shared with him, which was you can actually listen to see what people are saying, in this case, about IU. But you can also use it to listen to see what people are saying around any number of topics. And so when I like you, you know, I on Tuesday, I actually have to stop at 10 because I have to go to bed. But I do feel like when I'm reading this, like, wow, there's a lot of information here. How do I absorb that? And that's what I was really trying to get at with what you do with it is you're using it to kind of as example material as you talk with organizations in the ag industry or consumers. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, I do use it as example material, and I will tell you it has been quite shocking because I spend most of my world thinking about what the misperceptions are of agriculture. The first question mm-hmm. that I asked on the very first Ag Chat came back with nearly a unanimous response, and the question is, what do you feel are the biggest issues affecting agriculture today? And again, almost unanimously, the responses were the perception problem that we obviously have around farming and food and modern agriculture. And so
you're talking from the consumer's perception, the non-ag folks' perception of the way ag operates and produces food. Is that the perception you're talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about the 98.5% of the United States population that are not connected to production agriculture. That is what I'm talking about. And again, of course, I spend the majority of my world in that role, so I understood that. But it was very intriguing for me to see producers from both coasts of the country, to see ag media folks, to see agribusiness folks all come together and say, this is the biggest problem that we have. And as a result, most of the conversations have been driven around that. Quite frankly, one of the concerns that we have about Ag Chat is trying to figure out how we can put wheels under these ideas, because we do have some fabulous ideas that are brought up that people share and so forth. So trying to figure out how to take it to the next step is one of the challenges. And I would certainly welcome feedback. If you are on Twitter, you can catch me at mpaynknoper, M-P-A-Y-N-K-N-O-P-E-R. Or you can certainly go to Ag Chat and DM Ag Chat and you'll get me. So it is an opportunity to be able to understand what people are thinking, as you had alluded to. And it's also, quite frankly, a wonderful place to get the news, because I have seen a number of examples, as I'm sure that you have, with actually finding news about 6 hours in advance of seeing it on several of the news outlets.
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, I don't really watch the news outlets anymore, so.
and this is the power in Twitter, as a side note, and this is just my opinion. But Twitter and social media tools have allowed media to become more community-driven, more user-driven, and more circular. And because of that, major media has become less relevant, if you will. And quite frankly, and I have a communications degree, so I mean no disrespect to any media folks out there, but in a way it's very refreshing, because it seems as though information does not have to be as sensationalized as what we've had to deal with for the last couple of years in a major news outlet.
Yes, yes.
So to me, that's one of the huge advantages of social media. And I saw a great article this morning, actually, via Twitter, that I wanted to share, and it said that really social media is equal to influence. And if you combine that with a quote from John Maxwell, who's a leadership expert, he says that leadership is influence. So to me, leadership and social media is unquestionably influence. And the reason why I do all of the social media stuff for myself, for clients, for agriculture, is because we really do have an opportunity to be proactive and get out there in front of what the PETAs and the Humane Societies and the Greenpeaces of the world are doing.
Yep.
But that window's closing fast. So,
I wanted to kind of go to a little different direction here. So besides Twitter, which is well known, you actually created a Facebook group. I think actually it was kind of one of the discussions during one of the Ag Chat conversations was, hey, how about? And then Facebook came up. You created that. What other things are you using in terms of social media tools to help, help influence the perception of agriculture?
The social media tools that I use, and the order actually has changed. I would probably say at this point, Twitter is number one. Facebook is number two. I have a personal profile, which I maintain at a very professional level, because obviously my clients are in there, but also because anti-agriculture activist groups are on there and I have personal security concerns. So I have a personal page. I have a corporate page of the Connecting Food Consumers and Producers group I started. There's also an Ag Chat group on there.
This is all Facebook related still.
Yes, these are all
multiple channels through Facebook. Okay.
Yes, multiple channels. And there's, I have found in my experience with Facebook, there's actually some very specific reasons for doing that. And if any of the listeners want some great examples, just contact me. My website's npk.info, and you can find my contact form on there. Just contact me, and I will be glad to share. There's actually a couple of producers as well as a few different agriculture organizations that I think are doing a phenomenal job on there. But the way I look at it is that you strategically have to create a hub of social media. And so I've already talked about Twitter. I've talked about Facebook. I would be remiss not to mention the blog. The way that I've built my blog, and I actually was fairly late coming to the blog game. I didn't start blogging until a year ago. And what I did was create a compilation or resource base, if you will, of agricultural advocacy materials on my Gate to Plate blog. And I did that because I don't think that it's useful just to have an opinion out there. I think you need to have more background on that. So blogging would be another one. LinkedIn has some advantages, as well as some disadvantages, but I do have a LinkedIn profile. I have a YouTube channel, and I do really encourage folks, because of the fact that there's 13 hours of video uploaded every minute of every day on YouTube. It's crazy. And in my webinar training, what I have discovered is that most people have gone onto YouTube and looked at the entertainment pieces, but they haven't looked at the agricultural pieces. And if you do a search on YouTube today, you will find that the number of environmentalists and a number of animal rights videos are radically increasing. There's 13,000 plus videos on animal rights and 40,000 plus videos on environmentalism. Both of those have been up 30% in 1 month.
Wow.
So, it's mind-boggling. I can throw all the numbers at you of what our anti-agriculture activist groups are doing on social media, and that is the number one reason why I would encourage every single one of your listeners to not only figure out their social media strategy, but to really get their customers engaged, because I believe
yep.
you have to do it strategically.
Yep.
And then in summary, Ning is another tool that I actually was engaged with Ning, N-I-N-G, 2 years ago, which is kind of about 50 years in social media.
Yes.
So that was the first thing that I engaged with.
Because Ning to me is more of it's a social media web platform. So did you have, like Facebook in some fashion, so did you have a specific thing you created there, or was that another group you just joined in Ning?
Yeah, there's actually been a couple of groups that I've created on Ning. The first one that I created was for professional speakers that are in Generation X or Y. We started a group, and it was based on Ning. And that really taught me the value of community idea sharing and being able to have some camaraderie online with your colleagues. And then I also have created a Ning site that I've not done a lot with, but I do have one for Gate to Plate around agricultural advocacy. I'm also a member of several others that I won't bore you with. But before Facebook allowed you to build private groups, Ning had a significant advantage because it was a private network building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not convinced that they're going to hold on to that advantage long term, however.
Okay. Just to kind of summarize, because you actually hit on something that's really important. Now there's enough like what I call tools, and sure. There's a lot of stuff out there. You actually kind of highlighted in order of importance to you a series of those tools, and then said, and you actually called it a strategic social media hub in some fashion.
Yeah.
So that's really the core thing you were trying to. If you're going to do this, have some plan, and what are the tools you're going to use, and how are you going to use them?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
To me, I'm sorry. I was just going to add. To me, you have to create a digital media footprint. So many times in the past, we've had drilled into our heads that you have to drive people to your website. You have to drive people to your client website. Your brand is about your website. Well, the reality of social media is your brand is about your community. And the larger you can build that community and the larger that you can expand that digital footprint, mm-hmm. the more marketing savvy you're going to be.
Yep. Do you know who Chris Brogan is?
Chris Brogan from?
Chris Brogan is he's well known in what I call the technology social media space, so chrisbrogan.com. Anyway, he and I were sharing a conversation, and one of his interesting observations was you could actually you can create the nightclub if you want. Mm-hmm. So you have to, like, you know, when you build a restaurant and you're in a nightclub, you build the nightclub and you try to bring people to you. And that's the analogy of I built my website and I want to bring people to me. But he said, mm-hmm. but what's more interesting is you really don't want to be in the nightclub business, because what you really want to do is meet people. Well, you're going to want to go where everybody else is, and they may not be at your nightclub. So okay. when you're doing social media, sometimes you really want to be a pub crawler and actually go to where other people are. And so that's that. His strategy is he wants to go where other people are and meet them and talk with them, because that's more interesting than trying to maintain a website and bring all the eyeballs to him. I think that's kind of the idea.
Yeah, that's a great point. And one of the things that I've noticed in talking with some of the agency folks that are really struggling with this is that it has changed the marketing dynamics unquestionably, because social media is about the conversation. It's not about driving your brand down people's throats. It's about the conversation of a community. And I have found that the more you share, the more you get back.
Yes.
And what I always liken Twitter to is a big cocktail party, and you get to decide who you want to go talk to. And that's the beauty of the hashtags and being able to use some of the management tools such as TweetChat and whatnot. And different times you can talk to different folks. I don't spend all of my time with agriculture folks. I spend probably about 95% of it, in all honesty, but I also reach out to other professional speakers. I work with other social media consultants and whatnot, and try to share information from them and with them that are of value. And there's called a Twitter's law of reciprocity. And the thought is that the more you give, the more you get. And I have found that to be absolute true.
So there's a couple things that run through my mind. One of them is a lot of people are traditionally, when you talk with agencies, and then when you talk traditional marketing, at the end of the day, somebody's trying to advocate a cause or sell a product or get a message out. When you're talking about selling products, there's kind of a hardness there to it, because a big measure is I've sold more stuff, I've made money, and I've done that because I did some sort of marketing campaign. If that campaign didn't work, I didn't sell more stuff. So there's a metric there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you discovered any metrics that are useful when you're talking to agencies around social media that people can, in some fashion, get their head around and not feel like it's too fuzzy?
And I can understand that, and part of the point that you brought up, the sales versus marketing, and that's an age-old debate that I don't think any of us are going to be able to solve. But specifically, as far as social media metrics, as a small business owner, I quite frankly find social media to be remarkably easy to measure. I mean, there's any number of tools that you can use, from number of followers, your number of fans, your number of tweets, retweets. And there's a lot of different tools that on an individual basis, depending on how you build your campaign, that you can use in there. But it's a matter of getting in there and becoming comfortable enough to know where the real value is. When I first was on Twitter, like most people, I thought, well, who cares what I'm doing today? This is crazy. And then what I started realizing is that the value is in the retweet, as people are sharing information. Now, can you go out there and can you say, well, I have widget X, you need to buy widget X? No, because people are going to drop you. But you can go out there and say, I have the study, and it references these values, thought you might be interested in it. And then all of a sudden, people start having a good feeling about your brand, and as we all know, that's really what you're trying to create with marketing, is to create a positive feeling so that people will, in turn, support you.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on your website you actually have, I think, for sale a social media book. Can you kind of share what that's about?
Thank you for the idea, but no, I don't have a book yet. I love to write.
Did you not have something? I thought you had something on your website. It was an e-book.
Yeah, no, thank you. I actually have two different webinars. I just announced a webinar for agriculture tweets the first one is on May 7th here this week, and the next one will be at the end of the month. So I would welcome people to register for that. It's $19.99 per person, so it's not too expensive. I also have a webinar about farming your online community.
Oh, it's a webinar. So I misinterpreted that. I thought it was an ebook.
No.
I scanned the webpage a little too fast then. Okay, so it's
webinar.
Okay.
No, you're fine, because I do need to write an ebook. That was some guilty conscience talking there. if you go on to my blog, there are actually a number of articles that I know people have been finding in social media and agriculture, because I get a lot of different calls from it. But my blog has a lot of different insight on that. So I offer both webinars and in-person live training programs. And I've noticed a real trend among some of my established clients and older clients, including some agencies, quite frankly, have started bringing me in to combine the agricultural advocacy training with social media, because social media is an obvious platform to be able to give agriculture more of a voice.
Okay. One last question. Do you feel like you're getting the reach in using social media to the actual people you're really trying to get to? I mean, your world, I think, if you're trying to advance the cause around the understanding of where agriculture and food comes from, your potential audience is, you know, that 98% plus of the rest of the United States. Is that a fair statement?
That's probably the secondary audience that I want to reach. The primary audience is in agriculture. But to your point, I think you're getting at whether I feel like I'm getting the reach that I wanted.
That's actually what I was getting to. I know a lot of media people in ag are to definitely participate. And then every once in a while I see some people who show up that are, you know, there's a couple economists and a couple of veterinarians and some pork producers and some people in the crop industry.
Yes.
And then you won't know who's participating if they're just watching, so you really can't tell who they are. But
you can't find the lurkers.
But do you feel like you're getting at least that reach, or it's getting there at some level?
Well, I can tell you that I wouldn't be spending the time on it with that huge list that I just gave you. Absolutely, there is no doubt that I will tell you in all honesty, and this comes from an agriculture communications person, tried and true, that in 8 years of business, with some formal marketing efforts behind it, not a lot, but at least some, I have never seen the exposure and visibility that I have seen as a small business owner through social media. And the clients that I have worked with have found the same thing to be true. It has evolved our population. It's evolved our business. I think it will continue to evolve and change it. It's just a matter of who wants to jump on for the ride.
Super. Well, thank you. I really appreciate this. Any last thoughts?
No, I think it was great, and I appreciate everything that Truffle Media does and shares and whatnot on Twitter and elsewhere. So it's been great to connect, and if you want to connect further, just let me know.
All right. Thank you very much.
Very good. Well, we'll see you online tonight.
Okay. Thanks again for joining us today on Ag Media Conversations. This show and other agricultural shows can be found at trufflemedia.com. Stay connected. Send us a note. Information@trufflemedia.com is our email address, or send us a message on Twitter to Truffle Media. See you next time.